Hey, this is Brad Biley, and you just found Insights, the most listened to podcast by recruiters and staffing owners who want to learn what's working in recruitment and digital marketing. If you're new to the show, here's what you can expect to hear. Every other week, Matt Lozar, Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing, and I, our Director of Digital Marketing, break down what's working for staffing and recruiting firms across North America. But Insights is not a marketing show. It's a show built to help you get more job orders and more applications. And whether you stumbled upon the show or you're here on purpose, we're glad you're here. Let's get to it. What's up? And welcome back to another episode of Insights, the podcast built to help you with your recruitment and digital marketing. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing. He's Matt Lozar. Matt, how are we feeling this week, buddy?
We're feeling good, Brad. How are you feeling?
Better than I have in the last couple of weeks, man. I'm feeling pretty darn good, actually. Things are looking up. Yeah, feeling pretty good, man.
I think we have breaking news for the podcast.
Talk to me.
You too. We share in this breaking
news. We have breaking news?
Yeah.
Oh, I cut my grass.
We both cut our grass for the first time, everyone.
It was electric. It was electric. I want to be honest, Matt. I didn't plan on it. I was outside with my son. He was looking at it. I was like, what do you want to do, bud? And he was looking at it. I said, all right, like you want to work on it? So we changed the oil. We put some gas in. We changed the filter. And then he kept saying on. I was like, you want to fire it up? I was like, oh no. Like, oh, don't ask me twice. And the next thing you know, we're cutting the grass. So it was electric. I will say, Matt, I cut with the deck all the way up because I wasn't ready. Mm. I didn't want to do it. But like I said, he kept asking me, what am I going to say no to my kid? Come on. I'm better than that. So, yeah, man, it was magical. We're back. We are back.
It was fun. Everything is super green here in the Northeast. We've had some warm weather, and spring's here. So it's nice to see, spend some time outside and get going. It's nice, great to be out in the sun.
I'm so over being inside. To be honest, man, I'm an outdoor cat. I am not a house cat. And the winter really gets to me. Like when you just can't go outside at all, it stinks. And I've been outside hours every day, enjoying it. I'm just soaking up the vitamin D. I'm out there. I'm in the mix. I like to tinker. I want to be outside. But Matt, what do you say, man? We have one segment for today. You want to get to the show?
Yes, let's get to the show.
Matt, I have heard on multiple calls, and I'm sure you've heard on multiple calls, Brad, no problem getting applications, but the quality stinks. And I might be saying that nicely for some of the calls that I've been a part of. Quality of application is straight up in the garbage can right now. And Matt, I wanted to talk to you on this episode about how we can increase the quality of our applications. Now, it's going to be an open-ended conversation, friends, for the next 20 or so minutes. When Matt and I were prepping ahead of the conversation, I said, Matt, let's just kind of shoot from the hip. And we started brainstorming some ideas. And I said, let's just hold it off and let's just go through it and let's talk and use this as therapy, as we always do. Matt, from your recruitment marketing seat, what are you seeing as it relates to quality of applications?
Quality is a challenge. And it's interesting to me because I want to take a step back and think, has quality always been a challenge? Okay. Or is quality different now? Because I had a great conversation with one of our clients in Northeast Ohio. And he said a few months ago to me, he goes, Matt, the quality is always going to be bad. He's owned a staffing company for years. Mm-hmm. Because if a staffing company's client, right, didn't need the staffing agency,
there would be a problem. Yeah, they would have filled the job by now.
So Brad's warehouse wouldn't come to Matt's staffing company if Brad's warehouse could get good quality candidates. That's the probably the one of the, I don't know if inherent's the right word, but one of the challenges a staffing company is always going to have. So is it tough? But yes, quality seems on the top of mind for everyone right now, even though people are struggling. Some companies are struggling to get job orders. Others aren't. So we're starting to see some leading indicators. It's flipping just a touch here at the end of April 2024. Yep. And I think it's a big challenge for people that they're frustrated. The candidates aren't what they want.
So I'm wondering if it's also just we're lazy in recruiting. We want applications to come in. Unemployment's at 3.8% at time of recording. The people who are talented are working. The unemployed who are applying, maybe to be blunt, Matt, they might not be employable, right? They might have something going on where, you know, for one reason or other, they're not qualified for the role. So the quality of inbound applications might be low. But that to me means that either A, we need to target our passive candidates, or we need to recruit and we need to do what we're good at and form you know, relationships. Thoughts there?
I think there's a lot are my thoughts. I've been trying to work on this problem.
Yeah.
I want to start with the active candidates.
Okay, let's start there.
And go from there. Okay. Because I think we have some time to dig into active, dig into passive.
I would love to do that.
And with active candidates, you know, how do you get active candidates? Main place you go to the job boards.
Yep.
There's other ways too we can talk about, but you go to the job boards and let's think about how we could improve the quality there. You know, do you have the right title?
Mm-hmm.
Is your salary good? Do you have a good job posting, job description? Is it easy to apply?
Mm-hmm.
But also, and I'm thinking about this, are the job boards just pushing out the jobs? There's an inherent trust that we have to have here that the job boards are bringing the candidates to the right people.
Right.
Because we constantly hear, I'm getting someone that's just 180 degrees fully unqualified.
Yeah. I'm getting like a nurse instead of a welder.
Right. So is that a challenge that job boards are pushing out jobs to anyone, mm-hmm. even though they're saying they're going to quality, just to get revenue? It's a pros and cons. Maybe. That's where we talk about in our job spend management program. You know, pros and cons there. But I think with active candidates, that's the first place to start is, you know, are your jobs the right titles people are searching for? Is the salary good, which is probably important? Do you have good jobs? Might be a separate talk here. But is what they're seeing correct? And probably even take a step back is, are your jobs, if they're good or bad, even getting to the right candidates?
Yeah.
Or even getting them there?
So I just talked to DeLibro Wesley for our Take the Stage podcast. That's going to drop after this episode. But we talked a lot about DEI for probably mm-hmm. 45 minutes. And a couple points that we had talked about were in the job description. One, on average, in a survey, 100% of males will apply if they match 60% of the qualifications of a role. I'm sorry, men are basically looking to satisfy 60% of the qualifications of a role. Women are looking to fulfill and satisfy 100% of the requirements for the role. So on that conversation with DeLibro, we were talking about, well, are we missing out on great talent because we're pre-qualifying too much? Are we asking and expecting for the purple cow when we're almost asking for too much requirement, right? Are there need to haves and nice to haves listed in the job description? And she actually suggested punting the nice to haves. You talk about those when you're recruiting in the conversation. Don't list those in the job description because you're missing out on great talent. Another side of that, Matt, is there gender bias in the job description? You know, things like calling somebody like a marketing ninja. Women will typically not apply to that role. So that rules out a huge chunk of the talent, you know, pool. But friends, where I'm going with this is I think the job description matters. And Matt, we've talked on Insights 1,000 times about how you need to sell the job and position it like a job advertisement, right? That goes back to the first episode of Secrets of Staffing Success with Jennifer Lambert, when she said you need to advertise your job like a beer commercial, not like the ingredients on a beer can. And I still use that analogy to this day. And that show was probably 6 or 7 years ago. But if we're not winning the job description, then it's our own fault that the right people aren't applying to it because we're attracting people who shouldn't be applying in the first place. That's on us.
I agree. There's a client I work out in California. They changed their job description, I think, in the first quarter. And it really pushed everyone, what's in it for me, right? The candidate, not anyone else. And they changed this change. They tried some different things where the template's there, but the beginning part talks about being, you know, as a maestro in a band or a concert and just leading and taking charge of your career. Their cost per application definitely improved.
Good.
Got better.
Good.
When it's just, it has to be engaging for the candidate and makes them excited because it can't just be a boring description. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't post a job description. No one's going to want to, the top quality candidate will not apply to that.
No, not at all, especially because we're at 3.8% unemployment. So the top talent is already employed. They're looking for a grass is greener type of opportunity. And if that job description isn't screaming at them, then why would they apply? I think
that's where we're at with active candidates, is just making sure those are all, you know, T's are crossed, the I's are dotted, and all that information you control is important.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I know you wanted to get into the passive side.
Are you ready to make an impact this year? Our newest ebook gives you 33 of the best ideas to drive more sales and better marketing for your staffing firm. I'm going to share a link in just a second, and from there you can download that ebook or request a free lead generation strategy session that will give you the roadmap to more leads. Just visit haleymarketing.com/make an impact to get your copy today. That's haleymarketing.com/make an impact. All right, back to the show. Well, let's stay on how to get the job to the active candidate, right? So we have job boards, we have career portals. Let's, for sake of this conversation, assume that Indeed and ZipRecruiter and these other big players are getting the jobs to the right people. We can't change that, right? So let's assume that the technology is doing what it's supposed to. Let's make that assumption. I think there's also a conversation that needs to be had about, well, what are you doing to get the role in front of active job seekers? Are you posting it in the right places? Are you posting it in groups? Are you doing grassroots outreach? Are you looking for the active candidate? Are you being mindful of where they're hanging out and communicating and forming a relationship with them, right? Let's talk about the staffing shark for a second, who calls himself a career agent, right? Are you positioning yourself like a career agent, or are you just trying to put a body to work? Because no one wants to work with someone like that anymore, right? The industry is sort of shifting, and maybe it always has been, right? The best recruiters are the ones who have the candidate and client's best interests in mind. The lazy ones are the ones that no one wants to work with, and those individuals need to figure it out, Matt, unfortunately. But if you're positioning yourself like a career agent and you're going to war for your candidate, who doesn't want to work with somebody like that? What else, Matt, in terms of getting the role to the active seeker, anything?
I think it also, there's an employer brand angle to this.
Oh, good point.
And I'm going to use a really crazy example of my daughter.
Okay.
In that we go to Wegmans, a local grocery store in the Northeast, great place to work allegedly, which is where I'm going with this.
Yep.
For the whatever year, it's been a lot of years in a row. This year they were one of the top whatever number of years in a row. This year they're number six.
Okay.
When you see this in through the eyes of a 10-year-old, she's like, oh. And then my daughter's semi-type A personality says, what are the top five?
Interesting.
So you think about this, oh, this is a great place to work. You know, and she said, why did people, is this a great place to work? And we go down the whole survey thing, but the employer brand is important.
Yeah.
If someone comes across your job, now is the time, you know, are you controlling that employer brand online in the real world where they're actually seeing things, past experiences with your employees that are bad mouthing you or could be singing your praises? I think there's a huge employer brand aspect of this. So when candidates are ready to go to, we'll dig into some areas here in a minute or two, they choose you over all the other options.
And we have a negative stereotype in the industry already, right? Mm-hmm. It's already seen as, if you can't find a job on your own, well, then go find a staffing firm, right? As a stereotype, most individuals are not seeking out a staffing firm just because, hey, I hate my boss, I got to find a job, this is where I'm going. It's usually the residual of, I can't find a job, now I need somebody to help, which is kind of just like a personal trainer, right? Like, I can't lose weight, or I can't get stronger on the bench press, so now I need a trainer, right? It's like that last resort type of thing, when really it should be the first resort. Matt, I think the employer branding side of staffing, you've been working on this for years. It's still super, super tough, right? Staffing firms still struggle with online reviews, struggle with an employer brand, struggle with why someone should partner with them. Go ahead. You want to hop in? Go.
Right. Exactly that. It's, you know, what's the differentiator for a staffing company? How many of them have a good one?
Very few. I can tell you, in the conversations that I have, it is very, very difficult. Most is, it's the team, or, you know, we're local. Well, you know, unfortunately, being local has no value. I think Tom Erb said on Take the Stage is like 90% of staffing firms are under 10 million. So everybody's local. Everybody that you're competing with is saying the exact same thing. So go ahead, Matt. Sorry to cut you off.
That's where I think it's just, you know, what stands out? Like what tangible thing you can really hang your head on for that employer brand, employee value proposition? Like why should I, you know, choose you over someone else? Like, why should I make that choice to choose Brad Staffing Company over Matt Staffing Company? Yeah. Or not even that, just the other $15, $20, $25 an hour job that you could be hiring for that are competitors for your candidates.
Can you imagine if the only marketing that a staffing firm put in place for an entire year was case studies and case stories? If all we did for an entire year was just like, hey, here's all the people that we've helped, clients, candidates, here's testimonials, here's the challenge that they had, the problem they had, here's how we solved that problem, here's how we solved that challenge. Here's how not only did I get Matt his job and elevate his career, but also how I helped his spouse or whatever, right? Like here's the impact of all that. That to me, Matt, would be an incredible marketing campaign of here's how we're helping Buffalo, New York. Here's how we're putting Buffalo, New York to work. Right? Because you know these people. They're in your backyard. They're your neighbors. And we're helping them and we want to help you. Not enough.
It's an interesting idea because we talked Ada a lot in our last episode, but the awareness is coming from those traditional tactics of interest and desires of case studies and testimonials.
Yeah.
If I just see them everywhere, you're going to believe. It's almost like an e-commerce strategy where all the clothes that Brad has bought for the last 2 years are the ads in his Facebook feed. It's just there all the time and the awareness has to happen.
Dude, I am so influenced right now. I texted you the other day. I was wearing a Built shirt. I was wearing my Whoop band. And I just bought a pair of Nikes that I got hit with an ad with. But that's a sidebar. Ads are so good right now. My ads are spot on accurate where it is almost like, Matt, and I just want to take a second here to talk about this and then we'll go back to candidates. It is like I have some sort of shopping assistant in my Facebook feed right now. Mm-hmm. They know what I do. They're like the ads, Matt, are so targeted and so good. Matt, I saw a pair of Nike shoes and there's no way that Nike, maybe they do. Like I buy a new pair of gym shoes every 3 months, right? They wear out. They know that probably. So then they show me the ad, right? I didn't even scroll to look at other pairs. I just bought the first pair that they showed me because they know me so well. But friends, to that point, and maybe we can catch a wave here. Mm-hmm. Do you know your candidates that well? Are you serving the right ads? Or are you just saying, hey, we're hiring. We're looking for a general laborer. And are you serving boring ads? Because if your ads are speaking to people, they take action. And there's reasons that these B2C companies throw millions of dollars into advertising because the return on ad spend is so high that they can dump and funnel money back into the system, into the machine. Sidebar.
The employer brand. Yeah, no, that was an interesting wavelength there. But I think, you know, making sure we get we got to shift more to how do we make sure those jobs are there? Because if I have the jobs, if I have a decent brand, you know, now I'm going to share them with people.
Right.
So there's so many different, there's so many different ways you can, you know, the active with job boards, your email distribution list that you're building. It's kind of, this kind of straddles the line of active and passive probably and how we're going to reach out to people.
So let's go passive. Let's shift there. So the passive applicant, 3.8% unemployment. For the most part, that means everybody is passively looking at this point. Everyone's looking and considering a grass is greener opportunity, right? You know, we're all happy in our roles for the most part. The individuals who aren't become an active job seeker. But for those who are just kind of going through it, working their 40, if hit with the right messaging, we'll consider an opportunity. I think we're at that stage of post-COVID, you know, we're not super scared of making a shift. It's not the holiday season. We typically see job applications dip off in the holidays because no one wants to lose a job during Christmas season, holiday season. We're sort of in the period where, listen, you dangle the carrot in front of my face, maybe I'll think about it, right? And I think we're in that. Go ahead.
It goes back to a Facebook campaign we did here a long time ago, the re-recruiting, social recruiting campaigns, which were Facebook ads targeting, you know, your ATS, your past website visitors, new candidates, whatever. But the whole thought process behind the campaign was pain points.
Yeah.
Striking imagery. Yeah. The messaging was strong, right? You know, are you, you know, ready to take the next? It was just catchy copy and imagery that was shocking. It was just like, you know, are you done? Like, is today the breaking point? Basically?
Yeah, it was like one was like, stop missing T-ball practice. And it was like a dad like pissed off at his desk because he was noticeably there like after hours.
Yeah, it was all this different pain points mm-hmm. that are going to get the person to shift from passive to active. So that's one way to combat a tight candidate market.
Hey, it's Brad taking a short break to tell you about an offer exclusive to listeners of Insights. 30 minutes of strategic marketing consultation with me, completely free. You can visit bit.ly/insights30, all lowercase. Pick a time that works best for you. That's it. Whether you need better candidates or ideas to drive more sales, I want to help. Again, you can visit bit.ly/insights30 to schedule a time today. All right, let's get back to the show.
Yeah. When I think about getting the passive applicant to apply, but again, quality, it's still going to come back to the job, Matt. It's still going to come back to the job description, the title, the what's in it for me, especially for the passive candidate. You need to sell them. You cannot just say, hey, we're hiring, or, you know, hey, let's have a conversation about it. There needs to be a what's in it for me. If we can make the assumption, and I know we're assuming quite a bit on here, but if we can make the assumption that everybody will listen to a job offer if the money's right, whatever, right? I think that's pretty realistic. If somebody comes to you and says, hey, I can offer you X, you're going to listen regardless of how happy you are anywhere. I think that's human nature. But you still need to attract them. You need to have their, it's the ADA model, Matt. It's awareness, it's interest, desire, and action. You need to follow that model.
You're exactly right, because when the you know, you get somebody's interest with, you know, is it the schedule's new, you know, don't better schedule, remote work, you know, salary, et cetera. Yeah. You don't have to lift 100 pounds all day, every day. Just whatever is the pain point for that person. Salary is a great way to get in, but it doesn't have to be the only one.
Right.
You know, but then they're going to do some research. Mm-hmm. They're going to, you know, look into your reviews, look into online, talk to people, and really hopefully then make the decision that you're the right place for their next step in their employment.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about, you know, getting the passive applicant to apply and making sure it's a quality apply. You know, let's go back to our candidate database. We know who we've placed in the past. We know who's worked with us in the past, who is no longer working with us. Matt, I am frankly tired of not using an applicant database effectively. I have too many conversations where people are looking for new applies instead of going back to the database of thousands of people that they've worked with in the past couple of years. We always want new candidates to apply. Well, friends, if the quality stinks right now, go back to where the quality is good. You know, you put Matt to work 4 years ago as a welder. You know, Matt had a good role. You know, Matt did a good job. Call Matt, see what he's doing. Have a conversation, be a recruiter, pick up the phone and call somebody. We're constantly looking for that silver bullet. And how are we going to get quality applications right now? What if we just go back to what made this work for years? And we said, listen, we have a database. We've done all of this work. We've had marketing in place. We've had recruitment marketing in place. Let's pick up the phone and call Matt and see how he's doing and see if there's any opportunity to have another conversation. I just think, Matt, the quality is baked in. And I'm actually going to come back to something that DeLibra said on Take the Stage. And again, friends, this is going to come out in a couple months. But she had talked about how unconscious bias sometimes make you rule out B and C level, and I'm saying that in finger quotes, candidates, because you're biased based on who they are, based on your own sort of unconscious bias. So if you could peel that away, well, then you have a great candidate pool of people that you can work with who are probably A-level candidates. So maybe it starts with talking to other team members and saying, hey, Matt, this is a sticking point for me with this candidate. Would it be the same sticking point for you? Yes or no? In having dialogue amongst your team and saying, listen, is this actually a quality person? And stop working in a silo. I took that in a couple of different directions. I'm sorry. I caught two waves, but go ahead, buddy.
I think I'm coming to this realization of, you know, the quality, it comes down to so much more. Like, we just got to stop posting and praying. Like, I feel like you're talking about, you know, use the word lazy. Like, we can't just rely on what's going on out there. The company that hustles, that works a little bit harder, that just maybe just smarter, it's probably the word that we should use, you know, have some great jobs, optimize it, make sure the salary's good, get it to the right people, work on your employer brand, and then, you know, leverage what, you know, all this stuff kind of works together. Like, as I've been trying to figure this out the last couple of days, especially, there's no real short-term answer to this. It just feels like a lot of longer-term tactics and strategies that will help. It's not, unless you start paying crazy amounts of money, but that's not realistic. So in the staffing industry, I think just really focus on those bigger picture, longer term tactics, strategies to help you reach the goal.
I've said it before, right? And it was Alex Hormozi that said it, that I got it from. There's no silver bullet, but there's 100 golden BBs. And if we can fire off 100 golden BBs, heck, even 10 golden BBs, Matt, to your point, we start to move in the right direction. And Matt, as you're saying that, I was thinking, we can do everything, right? You can have 100,000, you can have $1 million marketing budget. But if at the end of the day, the job isn't enticing somebody, it doesn't matter, right? And to bring it back to B2C, right? I bought new Nike shoes. I've bought some new shirts, whatever it might be. The ads could be great, but if I got the product and the product stunk, I'm never going to buy the product again. Now, I bought the product. I love the shirts. I'm already ordering more of them because of how they fit, how I like them, right? The product has to back up the marketing. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So friends, when we're sitting here and we're talking on insights about all these latest and greatest things that you could be doing, we have to make the assumption that we have the house in order first, that the job description's good, that we don't have unconscious bias in there, that we're not ruling people out or asking too much of people, that we have good job titles, that we have a fair salary. If we don't have that, Matt, I'm so hesitant to say that anything else is going to work because it frankly doesn't matter.
I think you summed it up well.
Yeah.
It's if the product's not good, like you said, you have the best biggest marketing budget in the world. It'll work for a little bit,
sure.
But in the long run, it's not going to. So the summary you had at the end was really well done.
That was a great show, man. That was fun. We typically, friends, if you're new to Insights, we come in with three segments. Matt and I have had so many conversations lately about how quality of application is an issue. When we were planning for this episode, we said, listen, let's just break it down and talk about it. And we didn't really have a plan. We didn't have any sort of real talking points. We kind of just opened it up and said, let's talk as friends for 25 minutes. And here we are. Matt, before we get out of here, anything you want to share? Any last minute thoughts?
No, I think... really, you know, there is, like, I love the quote, you know, silver bullet, golden BB thing.
I do too.
Just, it's not an easy solution. There's not one thing that's going to change it. So, you know, pick a couple things and start working on those to help improve quality.
That's your show. And thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, we would love to know. You can message Matt or Brad on LinkedIn to share your thoughts. If you have a question for us, you could tweet us at Haley Marketing or email info@haleymarketing.com. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. You could, again, email info@haleymarketing.com. And in that message, be sure you tell them that Insights sent you. My podcast partner, Matt Lozar, this is Brad Biley. We'll see you next time.